CyanogenMod 12 rolls out, Google Cast your audio, $6,000 smartphone, and more. This is the Android Realm Podcast, episode number 214, Creative Execution Show. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. Your host, as always, Headphones Neil here. I hope everybody had a good holidays, whether you're a returning or a new listener, but welcome back. So it's a good couple of weeks off, or a week and a half, I guess, technically. But we're coming back to CES, so a lot of news rolling out, a lot of different devices, and for the most part, a lot of devices, few pieces of app news and things here or there, so I'll jump right into it. So the usual start for the show, so headlines, apps, and devices, and then I'll have a quick tip, something I found out about over the past, I want to say the past week or so, actually, just something I've actually found out by accident, and then we'll round it out with a Chromebook. It's a semi-quick tip because it's, of course, assuming this is already done, but if you haven't done it, then I'll explain all of that, but it's a semi-quick tip because it actually improves on a bit of functionality with the Chromebook, so we'll get to that when I get there. But with that, I will start off with the headlines for this week. So first off, Google Plus got an update right around the Christmas holidays that it can now auto-enhance your videos. So when you do upload your videos to Google Plus, or if they're automatically backed up, you can have that setting enabled to improve the general quality, brightness, and look and feel of it, much like Google Plus does for pictures. So look out for that. I haven't had a chance to play with it just yet. I took one video on New Year's, but I haven't had a chance to upload it to play with that a little bit. But it does look pretty nifty, especially if you do take a video in, let's say, mid to low light, or it's not as clear or sharp as you want, or you want to make those minor adjustments. If you do a Google search, though, for lyrics, you can now get a knowledge graph kind of box with the lyrics to that song. So it's basically, instead of having to go to a website or looking among various websites for the lyrics you want, it'll now show up in your Google search. So it's essentially using the Google knowledge graph to provide you with the lyrics that you want, and I'm guessing it builds on all the different lyrics that are on the websites, but it is one less step to take in order to get to the lyrics, in case you also want to know, for example, what the lyrics of a song are. If you live in Orlando for the time being, or you go to Disneyland Orlando, they are now accepting payments via Google Wallet. So when you visit, look out for that. So if you prefer to not take your wallet and you just want to take your smartphone, then that is now an option. They say that, or the articles that I read said that the Google Wallet integration will roll out to their other parks worldwide coming soon. So I didn't see an exact time frame for the rest of the parks, but at the moment, visiting Disneyland Orlando will give you that option. For those of you who are really into CyanogenMod Privacy Guard feature, or you're starting to use early builds of CyanogenMod 12, and you're wondering where Super User went, it is getting integrated within the Privacy Guard itself for CyanogenMod 12. So it's kind of merging the feature sets and making it a little bit more streamlined in this particular release. So in case you're looking for those settings, look out for it there. I haven't used CyanogenMod 12 yet. It hasn't rolled out to my old Captivate yet, so I can't play around with that a little bit just yet, but I will get to that in a second, but look out for it there if you guys are curious about what it offers now. Google showed off its first prototype for its self-driving car, so in case you were wondering what it looks like or what the progress is there, they rolled it out. It kind of looks like just a plain white version of Steve Urkel's electric car from Family Matters. That was actually the first thought that popped into my head, so if you're kind of wondering what it looks like, it looks kind of like that, or I think it's a Toyota Yaris, I believe, of similar look and feel. So if you're kind of wondering what the size looks like, that's the feeling that I got. But in the finishing the news for CyanogenMod at the moment, CyanogenMod 12 Nightly started rolling out. So they have a list on their website and a blog post for what devices are supported at the moment. It does include devices like the Nexus 6, LG G3, a couple of the HTC devices, some Samsung devices, and a few others. But if you're wondering specifically which devices are supported, check their website, cyanenginemod.org, and see if your device is on that list at the moment. XDA Developers has a lot more devices in case you want to look out for unofficial builds or see if people are porting the CyanEngineMod ROM into their own ROM and releasing it for your device as well. So if you want to get a taste of Lollipop on your device, that is also an option. And finally this week, Google announced basically making official that Google TV is no longer anymore. It is now officially replaced with Android TV. So in case you're wondering what happened with Google TV or if you're looking for the similar feature sets, it is all being pushed through via Android TV. So look out for TVs with Android TV coming this year. I'll have more information about that in the devices section. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into the app news for this week. So to start it off, if you already have Android 5 Lollipop on your device, so basically at the moment, if select Moto X 2014 devices, Nexus 6s and 9s and certain other Nexus devices, and you want Flash on your device, Dolphin Browser updated their browser to support Android 5 Lollipop and supporting the Flash plugin in the browser, so you don't need anything extra. And if you have visit a site that requires Flash, then you should be able to do this right from within Dolphin Browser. Google Plus for iOS got updated with polls and improvements to the resolution and how it looks on the iPhone 6. So a couple of features from the Android and website side of things are now available for iOS users as well. TouchWiz Recovery was updated to version 2.8.3.0 to fix and update a few issues, including issues with MTP super user support, as well as fixing a few bugs and updating its performance. So look out for that. I'm actually seeing how they work with the Moto X on a side note, at least for the 2013 edition, to get root and ROMing my Moto X with CyanEngineMod just to get back into the game on that side of things. But essentially they're keeping up and fixing bugs and updating things as they go along. For those of you who miss Frogger or you want an interesting port of Frogger for Android, Crossy Road was released this week. So look out for that. I actually just started playing it right before starting to record the podcast, so I haven't done a full review of it, but look out for that coming soon. I should have it ready by next week, so I'll review the game by then, but it is available in Google Play and the Amazon App Store as well as iOS, so it is cross-platform, or it's available on multiple platforms. And I will say at the moment it does support Google Play games, so achievements and leaderboards are also included. I'll get to some Google Cast news in a little bit, but iHeartRadio, in one bit of news, it will support Google Cast, so if you want to wirelessly send your radio or iHeartRadio content to Google Cast supported speakers, that will be an option. On the flip side, a recent article did say that Spotify will not be supporting Google Cast at the moment. I didn't see the reason, but I'm sure it has to do with something along the lines of licensing or ad revenue, something along those lines. So probably when that gets figured out, they'll support it, but nothing there at the moment. Dropbox got an update to, or will be getting an update to, support writing to external SD cards. So if you do want to export, or if you have limited storage on your main device and want to save files to your SD card, then that will soon be an option. I haven't seen it on my device, but I haven't played around with it too much and haven't seen any updates lately, so it's probably still in the works. For those of you who use the WordPress mobile app, it was updated to version 3.5 this week to get, or it basically got its usual bug fixes and performance updates, but also got its material design update, so it should look a lot better on your device, especially if you have Android 5, but if not, it should look a lot cleaner and more pleasant on the eyes. Google Now is getting an update. I think it was version 4.1 or something along those lines, but it's going to be getting an update soon to now have consolidated card settings, so it should be a lot easier to find and adjust the settings to your cards, as well as getting more card options, so more filters and settings and things like that. Another update for iOS is Hangouts. It now supports Google Voice and sharing your location, so much like the desktop and Android versions. So if someone asks, for example, where you are, you can easily share your location. And also if you have Google Voice, then that is now more easily integrated. And finally, Hyundai updated their Blue Link app to now support Android Wear, so you can now have that sort of ease of access if you do own an Android Wear device. But that is all for that, so I will jump into this week's device news, and there is quite a bit to get through, so bear with me. It is going to be a relatively long section this week. So to start it off, the Android 5.0.2 factory image was released for the Nexus 7, so look out for that. I know there have been a couple of issues coming up as far as battery life and I believe Wi-Fi connectivity and signal issues, so I believe these couple of updates to Android 5 should be fixing those as we speak. T-Mobile, or the Samsung Galaxy Tab 3 on T-Mobile, got its Android 4.4.4 update, so keep hitting your update button there if you have that device on T-Mobile. In not-so-related device news, but T-Mobile news, you may have heard about their data cap, data share program. I forget offhand what they're calling it exactly, but they are now allowing the rollover of your data into a pot, so to speak. So every month, any unused data goes into that pot. And if you run out in the following or any subsequent months, then you can use your data that you have saved. So pretty cool. I'm glad T-Mobile brought that. I know AT&T is doing a similar thing with their mobile share program, where any unused data goes into the next or rolls over to the next month, but if you don't use it, then it goes away. So it's always a matter of personal preference which program you like better, but something to consider if you are on a limited data plan or a shared plan and you are concerned about not being able to keep your data every month. But moving on, this week the Meizu M1 Note was announced. It's a phablet size device that has a 1.6 gigahertz 64-bit octa-core processor, 13 megapixel camera, 5.5-inch screen, 62 or 32 gigabytes of storage, 2 gigs of RAM, a 3140 milliamp hour battery, and multiple color options. So essentially, it's kind of along the lines of a limited Moto X kind of program where you get multiple different color options, but also a nice phablet-style device to play with. The Moto X Pure Edition 64GB was announced in the past week and a half or so. It is available via Moto Maker, so I believe it's not being sold otherwise, but look out for it in case other carriers are selling it. But if you do want a 64GB Moto X, and this is a 2014 edition, and as close to stock as possible, definitely check it out. OnePlus released the Android 5 port this week for the OnePlus One. It's mostly for the Indian audience because they released the alpha without CyanogenMod because of issues in India with running CyanogenMod, so look out for that in case you guys want that, want the Android 5 update that way. It is more of a stock release or closer to AOSP than CyanogenMod, so something to consider if you do or do not want to get that update. Descartes IQ made an announcement this week that they're going to start selling Android ovens. The basic feature or the back end functionality here that they're bringing to the ovens is that it's going to support voice commands. So if you want to have your oven set automatically to bake at 350 degrees, then you can do that, and it's powered by Android. So look out for that coming soon. This week, Google made the announcement of a new, not really a service, but a new feature for hardware manufacturers called Google Cast for Audio. So essentially what this does is it lets you cast audio from your Android, iOS, or Android or iOS device, or from the web to Google Cast ready speakers. So essentially it's a little... a hardware update to speakers where it works kind of like your Chromecast to TV. So rather than casting media any media content, you can cast audio from your device or the web to your speakers wirelessly, and not have to plug anything in, not have to have any extra hardware because you already have that hardware that you want. The stream is pulled from the cloud to reduce battery strain. So if you are wondering how much effect this will have on your device, it should be minimal. We'll see exactly how it's implemented in general, but that's the general idea. The initial batch of hardware that runs Google Cast will be coming in spring of 2015, so look out for that. There are a few manufacturers, I believe, that are on board, services that are on board as well. But, for example, the only one that I know that is not included is Spotify at the moment. They do also have a website in case you're wondering, because there are a number of different hardware and hardware and app developers as well that are on board. So just check out Google Cast for Audio, and they're... will be more information on that. As far as more device news, though, the LG G Flex 2 was announced. It's another phablet class device. It has a 5.5-inch 1080p display with 2 gigs of RAM, an octa-core processor, 30-megapixel camera, 3,000 milliamp-hour battery, comes in 32 or 32 gigs of storage, which is expandable. It also improves on the self-healing back, which is reduced from, I believe, the first generation, it was 30 seconds. This is now at 10 seconds, so in case you get a scratch or anything like that, it'll self-heal itself. It has an updated quick charge mode where it can charge up to 50% in 30 minutes. It's going to run Android 5 and also have the ability to swipe down with your screen off to access your notifications. So in case you don't want to pick up your phone or you want quick access to your notifications by swiping, that is now an option. So a slight variant on the Moto X active display. I'm not going to compare that which one is better, but both since I have the Moto X, the active display is awesome. So seeing another implementation like this is, of course, interesting to me. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, the Nexus 6 and LG G3 got their CyanogenMod 12 ROM updates, or are getting their CyanogenMod 12 nightly, so look out for that. I'm continuing to check for my Captivate, so as soon as it's available, I'm going to try and get that update as well. And then, of course, I'm looking into rooting and ROMing my Moto X for CyanogenMod 12. I'm in no specific rush to do it because I'm already as close to stock Android, but to get some of its features and capabilities back, especially for things like screencasting, which I believe it's native in Android 5, but just to play with that, and the privacy guard, which was a feature I actually kind of like for setting with specific apps for privacy, but that's neither here nor there. We'll see how that goes, but look out for that in case you own the Nexus 6 or LG G3. The HTC RE camera is getting an update to support YouTube live streaming. So, so as long as you have an internet connection, you'll be able to use your RE camera to live stream straight to YouTube. So you don't have to do anything special or extra, or do any uploads and downloads and conversions or anything like that. It'll support it directly, so you can do a live stream, let's say at a concert or a meeting, or if you're even for podcasting, that will be an option. Another HTC news, though, the HTC One M8 was announced to get Android 5 soon, so in the next couple of weeks from what the article read, so look out for that. I'll keep my eyes open in case they make it official and bring it up in the podcast where it relates, but in case it happens before the podcast, keep hitting your update buttons just in case. If you're looking for the Moto G Google Play Edition on Google Play, it's no longer available. I didn't see why it's not there anymore, but it's not. I assume that you can probably get it still through Moto Maker, but it's not being sold by via Google Play anymore. If you're in China and you wanted a Moto device, they're going to go on sale coming soon. This includes a Moto X, Moto X Pro, and the Moto G. For those of you who are considering buying a new TV soon and you want to get Android TV built in, consider looking into Sony, Sharp, Philips, and TP-Vision. They're going to start rolling out Android TV to various models in 2015. On the Sony side, I believe they're going to start with the Bravia line. I didn't see as far as what the other manufacturers and companies are going to be, which line they're going to release it in, but look out for that in case you want to have that built in and don't want any added hardware, then that's definitely worth checking out. For those of you who own a Sony Xperia Z3, Sony announced that it will be getting its Lollipop update, so look out for that. At the moment, it's just like the HTC One, where it's coming soon. If you've ever wanted to take notes and have them backed up to the cloud, LiveScribe announced that they'll be supporting Android in 2015, so look out for that app coming soon. That way you can take notes and write and have them automatically digitized. In a blast from the past, Sony announced the Walkman ZX2. It's a new, approximately $1,200 device. It's at $1,199.99 to be exact. But it runs Android, has 128 gigs of storage, has a micro SD slot for expanded storage, and built-in Wi-Fi. So if you wanted a Walkman, but for the modern day, then definitely check that out. Or if you have $1,200 to spare, then it might be worth checking out. Now, for me, it's a bit expensive, especially when I could put that to a new phone or a new computer, then that would be better served for me. But it definitely does look good and very sleek, and it's worth buying, but for me, it's just, for me, price is an option. If you are considering replacing your car stereo or have wanted to integrate Android Auto, Pioneer announced that their Q1 stereo is going to be a new aftermarket stereo running or based on Android Auto, so you can get some of those features without having to buy a whole new car that has Android Auto and not have to worry about which models have it or don't. You can get the Pioneer Q1 and see if that fits your car, of course, or car stereo, of course, but the Q1 will be powered by Android Auto. If you live in India and you wanted or you're considering getting a new phone, then Blue Products has announced 4 new smartphones for the Indian market. The first is the Vivo Air. It's a 4.8-inch device with a 1.7 GHz octa-core processor, 8-megapixel rear camera, 1 gig of RAM, 16 gigs of storage, and Android 4.4. So approximately mid-range device, nothing too low end, but it is a decently sized and powered device. There's also the Studio Energy. It's a 5-inch device with a 1.3 gigahertz quad core processor, Android 4.4, an 8 megapixel rear camera, 1 gig of RAM, and 8 gigs of storage. So I want to say low to mid range, so it's powerful enough, but a little bit lower spec, so it's gonna but a bigger device in case you want something that's more a little bit bigger, but not too specs heavy. There's also the Life One second generation, which has a 5-inch screen, a 1.2 gigahertz 64-bit quad-core processor, a 13-megapixel rear camera, Android 4.4. They made the note that this one is upgradable to Android 5, and it has 1 gig of RAM and 8 gigs of storage. So I'll say probably around closer to the mid-range, but low to mid-range, another mid to low-range device. It's similar to the Studio Energy, but a little bit more improved specs, just in case you want a device that is more than likely able to get Android 5. Then there's also the Lifeone XL, which has a 1.2 gigahertz 64-bit processor, 13 megapixel camera. The differentiator here is that it has a 5.5-inch screen. It runs Android 4.4, but is also upgradable to Android 5. Has 1 gig of RAM and 8 gigs of storage. So it's similar, or it's along the lines as far as specs to the Lifeone, but of course, based because of the XL, it's a little bit bigger. Then there's a Studio X that has a 5-inch screen, Android 4.4, which is upgradable to Android 5, a 1.3 GHz quad-core processor, 1 gig of RAM, and 8 gigs of storage. So a little bit smaller device, but better on specs. But if you want a device, again, that's also upgradable to Android 5, this may be the way to go. There's also the Studio X Plus, which is similar to the Studio X, but it has a 5.5-inch screen. Otherwise, the hardware specs are about the same, and of course, it runs Android 5 or Android 4.4, and it's upgradable to Android 5. And finally, there's the Studio G, which has a 5-inch screen, runs Android 4.4, and is upgradable to Android 5. Has 512 megs of RAM and has 4 gigs of storage. So it is a low-end device, but since they say that it runs or is upgradable to Android 5, it's probably light on certain features. But if you want a low-end device that runs Android, then it may be the way to go as well. Or if you're tight on the money, then that is also an option. In other car developer news, though, Volkswagen announced that they're going to start adding Android Auto to their cars in 2015. So I'm actually going to look out for that to see what models have that, just in case this year I decide to buy a new car, but to see as far as specs what options are available. In other device news, though, the Kodak announced the IM5. It's a new 5-inch it's a new device that's more camera-based but runs Android. It does run Android 4.4 KitKat. It has a 5-inch screen, a 1.7 GHz octa-core processor, and 1 GB of RAM, and it has a 13-megapixel camera, so pretty powerful. I didn't see too much else on the specs, but I'm assuming that it's based more on, or they're using the Kodak name more than the technology. But I'm not sure. It could be the both, where they're using the name and some of the technologies to have a good Kodak camera device. Let's say you're in a household for this next our bit of news that has Android and iOS-based devices, and you want one receiver in your car that supports both, then check the Kenwood, and hang in here, the DDX9902S. It's an Android Auto and Apple CarPlay-based receiver, so it does support both platforms. So that way, if you have the two in your same household, or even if you use a tablet, let's say an iPad and Android smartphone, or an Android tablet and an iPhone, then you don't have to worry about having your receiver support one or the other. It supports both. Asus announced the Zenfone 2. It's another phablet along the lines of the LG, the LG G Flex 2, where it has a 5.5-inch screen, a 64-bit 2.3 gigahertz quad-core processor. That's right, 2.3 gigs. It has it comes in 2 gigabytes or 4 gigabytes of RAM models. It has a 13-megapixel rear camera, 5-megapixel front camera, a 3,000 milliamp-hour battery, runs Android 5, and has a Zen UI on top of it. So if you want a super high-end device, then definitely look out for the Zenfone 2. It is a big device. I may consider it if it comes out by the time my contract is up and if it's available for AT&T or T-Mobile, for example. But based on those specs, actually it does seem quite high power, so it might be worth checking out. When, by the time it comes out, we'll see if other devices have that much in specs, but it is being compared to as the first smartphone with the same specs as a laptop or desktop computer, and it is up there, so it might be worth checking out for sure. In other news, the ZTE Spro 2 was announced. It's an Android-powered projector, so Essentially, just the UI or the UI and all of that is powered by Android. It has a mobile hotspot capability, supports Wi-Fi and LTE connectivity, has a 5-inch screen, so that's how you'll access its features. It has a 2.1 GHz quad-core processor, 2 gigs of RAM, 16 gigs of storage, runs Android 4.4, has a 6300 milliamp hour battery, and it supports projections up to 120 inches at 720p. So if you're looking for this projector, then it's, look out for it's coming in early 2015. And of course, HTC announced a new phone this week. It's the Desire 826. It has a 5.5-inch screen, 1.7 GHz, 64-bit octa-core processor, and it's octa OCTA, so 8 cores, 2 gigs of RAM, 13 megapixel front and rear cameras, 2600 milliamp hour battery, and it runs Android 5, so look out for that coming soon. I would put it on par or comparable as far as a phone I would buy to the Asus Zenfone 2. The LG G Flex is up there, but these three devices probably are, for me, would be the current contenders for the device to buy. I'm not much for any skins on top of the Android UI, but they're all spec'd high enough to now support the 64-bit architecture, so look out for those. Now, if you have $6,000 to burn and you want the Lamborghini name in your pocket, then check out the Tauri Lamborghini Android smartphone. It does, as I said, cost $6,000. It's going to have a 2.3 GHz quad-core processor, has 3 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of storage, 5-inch screen, and 20-megapixel rear camera. So the specs are up there to justify an additional cost, so I'm guessing the rest of that is going into the Lamborghini names. But if you want the name in your pocket and you have the money to spend, then definitely check it out. I didn't see too much else as far as what the UI is or anything like that, so I don't know if it'll have, I guess, ironically speaking, of course, or sarcastically speaking, of course, the Lamborghini UI, but it would be interesting to see how they implement that kind of UI, but I don't know what it has offhand, but the specs itself are pretty good. Lenovo announced the P90. It's a new smartphone that runs a 64-bit Intel Atom processor at quad, or it's a one, or that particular processor is the 1.8 GHz quad-core model. And it has a 4,000 milliamp hour battery, so a long enough battery and powerful enough processor, so we'll see. I didn't see too much else of what the other specs are, but they are touting it as the first smartphone to have an Intel Atom processor inside. In other Lenovo news, they announced the Vibe X2 Pro. This is a 5.3-inch device with a 64-bit, 1.5 GHz octa-core processor and a 13-megapixel rear camera. Xiaomi announced the Redmi 2, it's a REDMI. It has a 4.7-inch screen, 64-bit, 1.2 GHz quad-core processor, 1 GB of RAM, 8 GB of storage, a 2200 mAh battery, and runs Android 4.4. So it's along the lines of a low-end device, but it's skirting the edge of a low-end device to the mid-range. But the specs are in there to the point where it's powerful enough, and if you're not too worried about storage, then it's the way to go. If you want a smartphone that is high on security and is a good size, then check out the Boss phone. It's spelled BOSS, and it has a 7-inch screen, and it's certified with Tor for its security, and it has an 8-megapixel rear camera, 2-megapixel front camera, 3,000 milliamp hour battery, and Android 5. So it's setting the specs for battery life and security, so if that's a concern, then definitely check it out. Samsung announced a few phones this week as well. They announced the Samsung Galaxy A5. It's Android smartphone with 5-inch screen, 2 gigs of RAM, a 13-megapixel rear camera, a 2300 milliamp hour battery. It is being sold in India and runs Android 4.4. I will make a quick note that these Samsung devices are the ones being released in India and not the blue product smartphones I mentioned earlier. Those are general release. So a bit of correction there on the fly. The other Samsung Galaxy device for India is the E5. It has a 5-inch screen, a 2400 milliamp hour battery, a 1.2 gigahertz processor, 1.5 gigs of RAM, 16 gigabytes of storage, and costs about 19,300 rupees. So it's a little bit more on the budget side. It is comparable with the A5, but it all depends on what kind of specs you want in your phone. And the final Samsung Galaxy device is the E7. It has a 5.5-inch screen, a 2950 milliamp hour battery, 2 gigs of RAM, a 13 megapixel rear camera, runs Android 4.4, and it's estimated to cost about 25,500 rupees. So it's on par with the Galaxy A5, but has a little bit better specs and a little bit bigger screen size. So if you want a phablet, the E7 would be the way to go. If you want a smartphone, then check out the A5 or the E5. But that is all there is for that. So with that, after the short break, I'll jump into this week's quick tip and Chromebook quick tip. So with all these new devices being announced, you might want to buy yourself a new pair of headphones, or you're worried about security and you want to be as secure as possible. Then if you want the best possible quality audio, then check out our friends over at Tweaked Audio. They have 7 great styles and 7 great colors, so they'll have that style that suits your need, or if you're waiting for your new smartphone to come in, then you can get the color that matches your smartphone. All of their headphones are noise reducing, so you hear more of what you're listening to and less of the outside world, so that way you can focus on whatever you're listening to or working on, say, whether you're at home, at work, at the gym, out for a run, anything like that. So be sure to use the promo code GEEK, that's GEEK, to get 1/3 off your order and get yourself a brand new pair of headphones today. That's Tweaked Audio. Visit geek-io.net/tweakedaudio to get started and use the promo code GEEK at checkout to save some money, show your support for the show and the network, and get yourself a brand new pair of headphones as well. We thank them for their support and we hope you show them your support as well. And then also with all these new smartphones announced, or let's say you liked the article about the Boss phone and all its security features built in, but you're buying another phone and you're still concerned about privacy, or you're switching between personal work and your actual professional life, or there's a lot of data, your personal data, you want to keep as safe and secure as possible, then that's where our friends over at ProXPN.com come in. They help you keep your internet browsing as safe and secure as possible, and they also help keep your data secure so your personal information stays personal. So visit ProXPN.com to get started, check out all the various features they offer and security options, their various plans and all of that. And when you use the promo code GEEK20 at checkout, that's GEEK and the number 20, you'll get 20% off your order as well. So you'll not only get a safe internet connection and browsing support, you'll also show your support for the Android Realm podcast and the Geek.io network of shows. So be sure to visit ProXPN.com and use the promo code GEEK20 to get started on your safe and secure internet browsing and save some money at the same time. We thank them for their support and we hope you show them your support as well. But with that, I'll jump into this week's quick tip. So let's say you're using Google Now and you have an event in your Google Now event card, and you see that it says, okay, well, you need to leave by a certain time to get there on time. But let's say you want to get there 10 minutes early, 20 minutes early, 5 minutes early, and you want to see what time you would leave then. If you hit the arrow next to the leave by time, you can change the estimated leave time so you know when to leave to get to your destination early or on time or anything like that to get a general idea of your traffic. So essentially what you'll do, as I said or started off with, is you'll hit the arrow next to the leave by time and then you'll select the arrive on time. So that the default is arrive on time, so it tells you, for example, if you want to get somewhere at 6 and it's an hour drive, to leave by 5. But let's say you want to get there 10 minutes early or 15 minutes early so you have time to park and walk and all of that, you can select that to say you want to get there 15 minutes early, and it'll adjust the leave time so you know when to leave. And it'll use the current traffic conditions as well, so it takes that into consideration as well. So that's really all there is for that. It's pretty simple, nothing too difficult. And then you can play around with it as well. So if you change it to 50 minutes early, but you want to change it back to arrive on time, because you, let's say you had to change your destination, or you had to run an errand or something, then you can do that as well to get the new estimate. So that's all there is for that. Definitely worth checking out. I stumbled upon it when I had to see what time I had to leave to get to the airport. And I was just playing around with it. So that's all for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's Chromebook semi-quick tip, which is, I want to say a little, shortly after I released the end of year Android Realm podcast episode, I found out that a developer had released a way to run Ubuntu on your Chromebook in a window. So a while back, I believe I talked about how to install Ubuntu on your Chromebook. It does require setting your Chromebook in developer mode, installing something called Crouton, so that way you can run your Chrome OS, but then have Ubuntu running alongside it. You can run Ubuntu in Unity mode or XFCE. XFCE is kind of like the traditional Windows NT look, and Unity is the more classic modern Ubuntu UI. I currently run Unity, so just because I like the look a little bit better. I'm thinking about switching back to XFCE because it does seem a little bit lighter on the resources, and it looks a little bit more plain and less, I don't want to say cluttered, but less graphically intense is the way I want to word it. But if you do a search for install Chromebook or install Ubuntu on your Chromebook, there's plenty of articles on how to install it. But the developer, or a developer this week, I don't know how to say his name. It's, I think, Francis something or other. But essentially what you'll do is you'll install his Chrome extension. I'll have a link in the show notes in case you guys want to do it. But you'll install his extension, and then you'll run a slightly different update script called... I use the Kiwi, or it's a play on Kiwi, I think, but it's XIWI. I use that update to update my Ubuntu installation to tie that in with the extension that he released. It's a Crouton integration extension. So when you go into shell and you do, for example, in my case, sudo start unity, it'll open it still in full screen, but I can exit full screen and it'll show up as its own window. So I can switch between all of my different Chrome OS, or I can switch between it and all my other regular Chrome windows as if it was another app. So that way it makes it that much easier in case I'm multitasking, or in my case, for I'm working on in Audacity or GIMP under Ubuntu, and if I need to switch to something else in Chrome OS, I can do that as well, and it's all on the fly. And I didn't notice any issues with lag or resource or extra resource usage or anything like that. So, of course, that's really all there is for that. So once you install the extension, you'll run the update script, and then you'll run sudo start unity, or sudo, I think it's XFCE. I don't think it's start XFCE, but in any case, you'll start your Unity or XFCE environment, and you're good to go. I think there are settings to not default to full screen. I left it in full screen just for the heck of it, in case I want to leave it full screen, but usually I just exit and I switch between my windows, and it's actually a pretty nifty update to Crouton so that you can have Ubuntu in a window. So, and of course, with that, just remember that you'll also need to update your Crouton installation, so have the latest version or one of the later versions installed. The extension came out towards the end of December, so any Crouton installation after that should work fine. So definitely check it out. I've actually been using it pretty regular, or on and off, for the past week or two, and so far I haven't had any issues. I say so far just in case anything pops up, but I actually find it pretty nifty, and it is worth doing if you do install Ubuntu on your Chromebook. But that is all for this particular episode of the Android Realm podcast. I know it's a rather long episode, a lot of device news for this week, but That is all for this particular episode. If you want to get in touch with me, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. If you can check out the Android Realm Digest ebook, so it should be out within a day or two after the podcast. You can visit author.patelN01, where I'll add it there as soon as it's available. Or check my Twitter feed or Android Realm on Google Plus or Facebook if you want to check them out there as well. And of course, I want to thank our sponsors as always, including but not limited to Tweaked Audio and ProXPN. You can check out all sponsors in the show notes. You can, of course, support the Geek.io network on Patreon at patreon.com/geek.io, where you can unlock various levels, so remove ads from the website and shows, expand the network with new shows, and in general support the hosts on the network. And of course, you can find this show and more shows on the Geek.io network at geek-io.net. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.